Welcome to the Churchosity Podcast. If you're looking for a place to have fun and edifying conversations about church culture, then you have landed in the right spot. What's up, everybody? My name is Heath Brady.
And I'm Andrea Brady.
And we are your Churchosity Podcast personnel. Coming at ya.
Coming at ya once again.
Andy?
Yeah.
I am so sick of this weather.
It's pretty gross out. Ooh.
Freaking snow.
I know.
30-something degree weather, man. Like,
it's dark.
I thought that Punxsutawney Phil told us that winter was going to come to a close.
I'm ready. Spring, come to me.
I'm freezing.
I know. It's pretty cold.
Ugh. Just looking out the window, I'm like, oh man, it feels like it's 20 below just looking outside. Well, anyway.
Well, here, it seems like all four seasons of weather, you can see those in one day.
Yeah.
Woke up today, blue sky, beautiful. Birds were chirping. Mm-hmm. Next thing I know, it's gray, snow coming down.
And it's dark.
Yeah, it's dark.
I mean, it feels like it's like 5 o'clock at night.
Ugh.
And we're recording this at 12:31 p.m.
It's so weird.
Lord have mercy.
I know.
You know what's insane is that in just a few weeks, we're going to have daylight savings, which means we're going to lose an hour of sleep.
Oh, that's right.
Ugh.
Spring forward.
Yeah.
Mm.
I ain't no spring chicken anymore, that's for sure. Well, anyways, let's talk about Oscar for a moment, shall we?
Our doggie.
Our little puppy.
Mm-hmm.
He's not so little no more.
Well, he's 27 pounds.
And he's 7 months old.
I know.
And he got a clean bill of health from the veterinarians.
Yes, he's so adorable.
Which he actually loved being there.
Mm-hmm.
They took really good care of him. Well, and we learned a really, really important secret, ladies and gentlemen, for how to get your doggy to sit still and enjoy their experience.
I know.
What is it?
Cheese Whiz.
Cheese Whiz. It is the secret to everything.
Right? Yeah. He's very motivated by food.
Oh, yeah, he is. Especially Cheese Whiz. Yeah, he was upset that it was all gone.
Yeah.
I thought for a second they were going to send us home with the bottle.
Oh, I know.
We're going to have to like go to Costco and buy a case of it.
No, it has to be special just for the vet.
That's true because, yeah, if we give it to him all the time at home, then it's just kind of meh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, Andy, how you doing today?
I'm doing okay.
Yeah.
I'm just a little groggy.
Groggy.
Yeah, the weather really is discouraging.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Makes me wish that I was in Disneyland.
I think I need to take some vitamins or something.
We need one of those sun lamps.
Yeah.
You can just turn on and sit under and get some vitamins into your skin.
Yeah. Something like that.
That was such a 90s thing.
Right.
Early 2000s. I don't think it worked.
I have no idea if it works or not, but I need something. I need
something.
Some sunshine.
Maybe we just need some chocolate.
Yeah. Ooh, that sounds like a plan.
Sure. Write that down. Well, anyway, we are excited to continue our conversation about remarriage.
Mm.
We're going to be diving in a little bit deeper in that conversation. Mm-hmm. But before we get into it, we want to remind all of you to please give us a rating and leave us a review, because your ratings and your reviews not only help popularize Churchosity, but believe it or not, they make us a heck of a lot easier for other people to find us.
Mm-hmm.
And Andy?
Yes.
I know that you especially want to encourage everyone to do something.
Check out our website,
mm-hmm.
please. We also have a survey on there that would be really helpful if people took the time to fill it out.
Mm-hmm.
It would help us serve you better.
Exactly. And keep in mind that churchosity.com it isn't just the home of our episodes, but all things Churchosity. We've got blogs on there.
You can listen to our episodes.
And fill out that survey.
Mm-hmm.
And much, much more. Check us out, churchosity.com. All right, Mrs. Brady.
Yes, dear.
You ready to keep trucking away in this conversation?
Yes.
Did you enjoy our last episode?
I did.
As we introduced this conversation?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we want to remind everyone why we're doing this series. In case anyone was wondering,
mm-hmm.
we believe, you and I, that is, Andy,
yep.
that this demographic of divorced and remarried couples and blended families is a demographic that is very underserved
mm-hmm.
in the local church. And so we want to talk about what serving this demographic would look like. We want to talk about why maybe churches frown upon or struggle serving this demographic in our churches. Our goal really is, I think, to be the voice of reason and a beacon of hope to those in our churches that fall into this category, because we want to be what we wish we would have had available to us when we were going through the beginnings of our remarriage and forward.
Right. We want to give people tools,
mm-hmm.
things that they can use in their marriage to help improve it,
mm-hmm.
to help them navigate the murky waters. And actually, you know, the tools that we're going to present are good for anyone who's married or in a relationship.
It's very true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish that like 99% of the tools that we have now,
mm-hmm.
I would have had like when I was first a pastor and doing pre-marriage counseling.
Ooh.
Because you are right, Andy. These principles don't just apply to remarrieds.
Right. And how did we come across these tools?
Well, we'll talk more about this when we get to the fifth of the five key points. But we sought professional help.
Exactly. That's why I wanted to bring it up.
Yeah.
Because even though it's the fifth key in our series, the ones that we're going to be talking about, I think it's super important. And as soon as you can, you should find a good, healthy counselor who can help you heal. Because really, that's what we're talking about. Healing and moving forward.
That's totally correct, honey. We our focus, our goal is for healing and strengthening of Christian faith in each other's walks with the Lord and as a couple, because we really believe that if Christ is the foundation, a second or subsequent marriage can be it for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be joyful.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes work. It takes several different components. And I don't say all of that to be discouraging or weighty. I just say it to be real.
Yeah, because it's not easy. It's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. What does that work look like? Well, for starters, when you and I were dating, I went and had coffee with our old youth pastor.
Yeah.
And he knew that you and I had, I mean, we went to the same youth group together as kids. And even when we were kids, he knew that we were nuts about each other. So it was no surprise really to him that you and I had reconnected and we were dating. But he said something really interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you know, Heath, I know that you and Andrea are going to get remarried, and that's a good thing. But when you get remarried, it's going to be like a plane crashing into the ocean.
Mm.
To which I was like, well, gee, thanks for the vote of confidence, bro.
Yeah, that sounds so positive.
But then he said, well, no, let me explain. He said, what happens when a plane crashes to the ocean?
The luggage floats.
Yeah, all the baggage floats to the top.
Yeah.
So then I was like, oh. And he said, so the plane crash is inevitable. It's going to happen. The work that needs to be done is get as much baggage off the plane as you possibly can before it hits the water.
Yeah.
So beneath the surface of everything that we discuss in this series, we want our listeners to keep that principle in mind, mm-hmm. that the work that you do before you're married, and even if you're already remarried, you can start this work now. Because if we're honest with ourselves, which we need to be, our previous life, which is what we like to call it, seeps into the new context. Mm-hmm. And one of our goals should always be that our new relationship bears little or no resemblance to our previous relationship and all of those things that would be considered baggage, if you will.
Right.
So on this episode, we're going to start talking about the first of our five key points, and that is forgiveness and grace. Because central to Christian teachings is the concept of forgiveness and grace.
That's right.
Remarriage often follows a period of pain and brokenness, and embracing forgiveness is essential for healing. Mm-hmm. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 reminds us to be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So by extending grace to one another, couples can cultivate an environment of love and understanding.
Especially if both of you are remarried, having left a previous relationship as, you know, a divorced person, mm-hmm. there's definitely brokenness.
Yes.
And extending each other and yourself some grace and realizing, you know, I don't have it all together, mm-hmm. but I want to get this right.
Yeah.
Forgiving yourself for your past mistakes, mm-hmm. because nobody's perfect, and it takes two to make a marriage work. Mm-hmm. Nobody's innocent in a divorce.
Correct.
I mean, there's always people like to blame one or the other, but if you look harshly or critically, if you look critically at the situation, both parties are guilty most of the time. Mm. So owning your mistakes, I think, is a really important part of moving forward and healing.
Sure.
And owning your mistakes can be forgiving yourself.
Right. I was going to say that just like the gospel doesn't stop at the crucifixion, it continues to the resurrection. Mm-hmm. Owning the part that we played in the separation doesn't end at accepting responsibility for those choices. The story continues into the desire to do something new. Yeah. And that requires giving yourself a lot of grace, because just like everybody else that follows Jesus, we don't got it all figured out. I mean, the Apostle Paul said, not that I've obtained it yet, but I press on. Mm-hmm. So part of that pressing on is the desire to be with a new life partner. And that's exciting and it's rewarding. But you got to remember that you're figuring this out. You're a human learning how to be a human. You got to afford yourself some grace and you got to forgive yourself. So that's a great point, Andy.
Mm-hmm. You also have to give your partner some grace.
Yeah.
Because we like to talk about these things called bruises. Mm. And in our vernacular, a bruise is a previous wound from perhaps your previous life. It could also be something that you had in childhood, like some kind of unhealed childhood trauma. Your partner could be poking these bruises and not even know it.
Right.
I think a lot of the time when we get upset or frustrated with one another, at least at the beginning of our relationship, it was because we were pressing each other's bruises. And bruises can take a long time to heal. Mm-hmm. Again, this is why we always suggest having some kind of a counselor to talk to, so you can express to them your concerns, and they can give you really good tools to help manage those bruises. Mm-hmm. And remind, once you're aware of the bruise, that's the first step. Because sometimes we don't even know what those triggers are.
Sure.
What would be an example?
Certain things that are said.
Yeah.
That the other person used to say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Certain places that you go.
Mm.
Songs you hear on the radio.
Uh-huh.
Just as a few examples.
Right.
And the neat thing is that when you have that open conversation about those things being bruises, it doesn't mean that you have to stop doing them. It just means that it creates an awareness that when those things occur, that it's kind of like a flashback to a painful period that you haven't healed from yet.
Yeah.
And it's okay. It's not wrong. It's just something that needs to be worked on.
It also kind of forces you to be vulnerable with the other person because, I mean, you could stuff it. That's another expression that we like to have that we call stuffing it. When we stuff our feelings,
everything's great.
Yeah. It doesn't always work out very well because stuffing it, it'll come out in another way.
It's kind of like developing the Mount Vesuvius mentality where you keep stuffing it and stuffing it and stuffing it. And then at the point where a bruise gets poked one too many times, then it just explodes.
Right.
And then it's a big old mess. Mm-hmm. And the person that gets exploded all over is sitting there going like, I had no idea that all of this was the matter.
Yeah.
So conversation is very important.
Yeah.
Vulnerability and honesty are very important.
It feels like it came out of nowhere.
Yeah, that too.
But really, it had been building and you didn't even know it.
Yeah.
But choosing to be vulnerable with your partner, and we have a phrase called doing it afraid.
Doing it afraid.
You have this issue. You have to choose to be vulnerable. And you make that choice to tell them afraid. Even though it's the hardest thing to do, especially if you have not been in a relationship before where you could be honest with the other person, it takes a lot of work.
And there's been times where you or I, Andy, have led a conversation off with stating that, that I'm going to do this afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, you let your partner know that this is a sensitive, delicate area that you are about to go into, and you're terrified to bring it up because you don't know how they're going to react, or you anticipate that they're going to react poorly.
Right.
And again, the purpose of having that preemptive conversation that's just simple as, I need to tell you something and I'm doing this afraid, that is an act of reconciliation and being on the same page and being partners.
Mm-hmm.
That way it doesn't come out later. You know, I know this. I knew I shouldn't have brought this up. You know, that kind of a thing.
Or you're just like so-and-so.
Yep. Yep. You know, this idea of giving your partner grace, another side to that same coin, Andy, is that you're not healing from the same things or at the same pace or rate.
Mm-hmm.
And so our perspective own healing happens how it happens.
That's true.
And so whatever each of us are healing from is different than the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, maybe you're healing from your bruises, but your partner's not healing as fast as you'd like them to heal. That's not giving them grace.
No, it's not.
If you become impatient or indifferent
right.
to that. Or, God forbid, you intentionally poke the bruise to try and insist that they heal faster.
Now, that would be really awful.
Yes.
And that's part of laying a foundation that's a strong foundation in your new marriage. You have to have some ground rules.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I don't know, we haven't really discussed this much, but one of those things is to believe the best in the other person and that they're not out to hurt you.
Yeah, believe that they have goodwill towards you.
Yes. And sometimes we have to reiterate that and say it out loud. I don't have ill will toward you. I didn't mean to do this to hurt you.
Right.
When a conflict arises.
Yeah, because it's so quick to just like easily slip back into that way of receiving information from the other person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, see, and that's where you go down that road of you're just like so-and-so.
Mm-hmm. You're poking the bruises.
Yeah, and being reminded of the goodwill.
Yes.
Is so important.
Yeah, just like we have a biblical foundation and the truths of scripture, we have to have truths of our relationship that we can fall back on,
mm-hmm.
that we reiterate over and over again. That's why we memorize scripture, right?
Exactly.
So we know those verses when conflict or, you know, troubled times happen, we can fall back on our knowledge of scripture to sustain us. And in the same way, in our relationship, we have to have truths about our relationship that we believe in wholeheartedly. We can fall back on those things when the time comes. You know, things like, I know you'll never leave me.
Mm.
We call that closing the back door.
Yes.
That means that you don't have, you know, a honey on the back burner. That you're being faithful and true. You know what I mean?
I went dark real quick. I was just thinking that means that there's no way of escape. You're not thinking about leaving.
Right. But also...
it's also everything in between.
We've taken a lot of steps in our relationship to reassure one another that you have my whole heart and you don't have anything to worry about.
Correct.
Because that's not always something I've felt, you know, my whole life in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Same with you.
Correct.
So depending on your situations, you know, sometimes you have to take drastic measures to prove to the other person, yeah, I'm in this for life.
Right. Even if you got to slap them silly.
Yep.
Just kidding. Well, it's very true, Andy, that Christian remarriage is a journey that often arises from a past marked by brokenness mm-hmm. and pain.
Mm-hmm.
But the foundation of a successful remarriage lies in the principles of forgiveness and grace. So we want to kind of dive into some of these virtues
okay.
in the context of a Christian remarriage
mm-hmm.
and draw some guidance from biblical teachings. So
that sounds like a good plan.
Yeah. So first of all, let's talk about the biblical foundation of forgiveness.
Okay.
The Bible places a profound emphasis on forgiveness as a cornerstone of Christian life. Colossians 3:13 says to bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you.
Mm-hmm.
So in the context of remarriage, understanding and practicing, that's the key, practicing forgiveness can pave the way for healing and restoration.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, you know, if you have a grievance against someone, you have to do it afraid.
You got to do it. You can't stuff it.
Right.
Don't turn into Vesuvius.
Exactly.
And bury the relationship down the road.
I think all of our tools have biblical foundation behind them.
Well, I definitely don't have any worldly wisdom about this.
No, I don't either.
That's how we ended up in the predicament we were in the first place.
That's true.
Next, let's talk about extending grace in the face of imperfection.
Mm-hmm.
Remarriage involves individuals who have experienced the pain of broken relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Romans 3:23 reminds us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So recognizing our own imperfections and extending grace to our partner is essential for fostering an environment of love and acceptance. Grace allows couples to move beyond past mistakes and build a future grounded in love.
Yep.
I just think that all of those things are so crucial.
Yeah. I mean, especially like you were mentioning how sometimes if your partner doesn't seem to be healing and moving along as fast as you'd like, you have to remember that it's only by the grace of God that you are where you are.
So true.
So you have to check yourself and, you know, pray for them. Extending grace in the face of imperfection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you're not perfect.
What?
Well, you're perfect for me. Oh. I didn't mean it like that. I mean,
I know what you
like
meant.
Nobody's perfect.
That's right. Well, and you make a good point, because Christ extends grace to us in the face of our imperfection.
Exactly.
And so just as it says to forgive just as Christ has forgiven you, mm-hmm. you know, part of that forgiveness is the extension of grace.
Exactly.
Yeah. Then there's the healing power of forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Now, this is interesting. Statistics show that couples who actively engage in forgiveness experience higher levels of marital satisfaction and overall well-being. Now, that's like a big duh, but the reality is, you know, I talked about that airplane analogy, yeah. right? If the baggage from the previous life floats to the top, like all of it, it increases the likelihood of not being engaged actively with your partner in forgiveness, because mm-hmm. you're dealing with guilt and you're dealing with drama and you're dealing with bruises, and there's no conversation likely happening because there's no doing it afraid. There's no recognizing that your partner is dealing with the same types of things that you're dealing with, and you become selfish almost.
Right.
You know, protect yourself. And you know, out the window goes even the mere concept of not having ill will towards you.
Exactly. So, I mean, when I first read this, I thought of something like the silent treatment. You know, when people give each other the silent treatment.
Mm.
I understand that sometimes you have to take a break and cool off if you're having a conflict.
Sure.
But the silent treatment, I think, does not coincide with one of the foundations of our relationship that we built, which would be
doing it afraid
and not having ill will.
Yeah not stuffing it.
Mm-hmm.
yeah
I think that sometimes the power struggle, you know, that maybe in previous relationships people might feel like they have a sense of power over their situation if they give the other person the silent treatment. But you know, relinquishing power is actually freeing.
Yeah.
You know, and we're talking about the healing power of forgiveness, realizing that we need to be more like Christ.
Yeah. Well, Ephesians chapter 4 verses 31 and 32 encourages us to get rid of all bitterness, mm-hmm. rage and anger, mm-hmm. brawling and slander, mm-hmm. along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you.
Mm.
And I really think that that is a huge secret to, as I said, marital satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you and your spouse are on the same page and you get to the place where you just know that you don't have bad will towards one another ever,
mm-hmm.
that makes it increasingly easier and easier to have those confession and forgiveness conversations with your spouse.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm not out to get you. They're not out to get me. And, you know, the bruises got poked. I need to tell you that they got poked. And, you know, and you can move on and just enjoy this high level of satisfaction in your marriage. And stuffing it and the silent treatment, you know, things along those lines, mm-hmm. that's not teamwork.
No.
That's not home team, as we like to call it. That's protecting yourself.
Yeah.
And what's ironic is that you think that you're protecting yourself, which you are, but you're actually damaging your spouse.
Yeah.
Because you're not being real, genuine, and honest.
Yeah. It's building mistrust.
Yeah. Well, and then if you stuff it for a long period of time, and then eventually Vesuvius all over your spouse, do you think that that encourages trust to be able to come to you when I've got something?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to kind of develop this consistency, mm-hmm. which is the next point, having a continuous act of love.
Right.
Forgiveness is not just a one-off. It's not just a one-time event, but a continuous act of love. Remember, Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 18. Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" And Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven times.
Mm-hmm.
Embracing a spirit of continuous forgiveness enables couples to navigate challenges with humility and resilience.
Right.
That constant, continuous act of love in the form of forgiveness.
You know, we're not able to do this by ourselves.
Absolutely not.
It brought to mind a verse, keep on keeping on getting filled with the Spirit.
Oh, from Ephesians.
Yes.
Continuously being filled with the Spirit. Yes. The present, active, indicative. Yeah.
Yes. Because we need to be in the Word. I guess it's super important to read God's Word, to be filled with the Spirit, to pray, because you can't do this by yourself. It's impossible.
Right. Well, and we know that it's impossible because the statistics and numbers don't lie.
Yeah.
Especially in Christian remarriages. Mm. You know, it needs to be grounded and rooted in Jesus and his Word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ephesians tells us to be filled with the Spirit continuously. Colossians tells us to let the words of Christ richly dwell within us. And those mm-hmm. two go hand in hand. They're essentially the same thing. Well, then there's the journey together where we're embracing a future grounded in grace. And that's an interesting concept. I've never really thought about it in those terms before, Andy.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But it's very true. The grace that we show one another and ourselves is really how we embrace the future together.
Mm-hmm.
As couples navigate the complexities of remarriage, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 reminds us that it's by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. Now, the works that we tried before in our previous life
yeah.
got us to where we are now.
How'd that work out for you, right?
Exactly. See, embracing God's grace in our lives allows remarried couples to look forward with hope and confidence, knowing that their union is sustained by divine love and forgiveness. And this is especially crucial to remember
mm-hmm.
when dealing with those bruises.
Oh, yeah.
When dealing with the guilt, when dealing with the drama. And I'm going to go one or two steps further. Because what's often common in our church cultures is that a couple who's been remarried that is underserved in their local church,
yeah.
they feel blacklisted.
Oh, and they feel alone.
Yeah, and they go into hiding.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that is because of this grace factor. See, this future grounded in grace, it isn't just limited to the new couple, but it's extended to the surrounding local church body. To extend grace and forgiveness mm-hmm. to the couple as well. You know, it takes a group effort. Home team isn't just the new family that's been created. It's the surrounding love and grace and forgiveness of the local church body as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that is an important support system that I just don't think the church recognizes is of the greatest of necessities. I mean, we look at those numbers and data on the success or lack of success of remarriages. And I think that a huge contributing factor to that is not being a support system to couples that are in this demographic.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got to understand, you know, that not every single person walks down the aisle for the first and last time, like everybody would like to believe. And so if you are a couple that has been remarried, the people around you in the church need to recognize that you are walking around with bruises, you're walking around with guilt that you're working through with your partner. You're being reminded of drama from your previous life.
Yeah.
And in that previous life there are haters. Especially if there's kids involved.
Mm-hmm.
There are people, and we'll refer to this group of people in a later episode, but there's this group of people we call the others,
mm-hmm.
which is the other family
mm-hmm.
that is no longer unified with you, if you will. And so when a remarried couple is carrying around all of that weight, that's burdensome. They want to hide because they feel blacklisted. They yeah. feel alone. They feel, like I mentioned before, like they've got a scarlet letter painted on mm-hmm. them.
Well, I think a part of the problem is they need support of people who are like them also. I mean, if everyone wasn't hiding, they would know who they were. Yeah.
Well, and that's part of the reason why you and I have such a huge heart for this demographic, because yeah. not only do we belong to this demographic, mm-hmm. but we would love to have, you know, a group of support system of people just like us.
Yeah, it would be nice.
It'd be super awesome. You know?
Well, I think one of the dangers, the same way that I think a lot of newly married for the first time young couples are, they think they got it all together and it's hard for them to ask for help. I think a lot of that's just human nature. Mm-hmm. I think that also in the same way, remarried couples, they have all this luggage, like we talked about, mm-hmm. and they're afraid of being judged and they don't know how a community would support them, what that would even look like, and do they even want help?
Yeah, it kind of develops and fosters an attitude of, we got this.
Yeah, and how would they relate? How could that person or that family, how could they serve me? How could they relate to me right. and what I'm going through? Because, you know, everybody likes to pretend like they have it all together. Mm-hmm. It's a sad state.
Yeah.
We, like, you know, in the same way that we need to be vulnerable with our spouses, we need to be vulnerable with each other.
Mm-hmm. It's part of bearing burdens with one another.
Exactly.
Because let's be honest, being remarried
yeah.
can be burdensome.
Mm-hmm.
And just like we were created for the purpose of fellowship with God and one another, that there's nowhere in the footnotes of that says, except with couples who fall into this demographic.
Yeah.
We are all part of the body of Christ, mm-hmm. regardless of what that sanctification process, what that journey has looked like on the outside.
Yeah. And when you have children in the mix, there's also the hard realization that you have to come to, and you need to forgive yourself and realize that your new family is never going to be quote-unquote normal.
Normal, yeah.
It's always going to be different.
Yeah. That was a huge piece of information. That was a grandiose tool, I'll call it, that we received from our counselor farther down the road than we probably should have or could have received it. Because I remember you and I like working tirelessly at trying to make things quote unquote normal. And every day there was like something else that would remind us that, okay, this isn't normal. And so being told your situation is never going to be normal is so freeing, because yeah. what it does is it removes this expectation, this like over the top weighty expectation to try and look and be like a quote unquote normal marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're right, Andy, it's not going to be normal, especially if there's kids,
mm-hmm.
because you've got the others
and
yeah. you've got the step parent relationship and, you know, all of those definitions of roles and responsibilities and all of that. And there's just so many different things, so many different factors that contribute to the situation not being normal.
Mm-hmm.
But what can be normalized is grace and forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah. I think that the principles of grace and forgiveness outweigh any other effort that we could try to perform on our own.
Mm-hmm. We also have to consider that not only do we need grace and forgiveness for our spouses and for ourselves, but for the children.
Right.
If there are children in the equation. So, I mean, we can't forget that, because they've gone through something also.
Yeah. They have their drama. They have their bruises.
Yep.
They have their version of hiding.
Yep.
They have their version of feeling alone or blacklisted. It's very true.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we forget about that
yeah.
a lot. we get so focused on just us, which matters. It does.
It's, yeah.
You know, the central part of the new family is the husband and wife. But when there's kids involved, then your interests are divided, mm-hmm. so to speak.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right. I'm so glad you brought that up. But here's the deal. Forgiveness and grace are integral to the success of Christian remarriage. Grounded in biblical principles, these virtues have the power to heal wounds, nurture love, and build a lasting foundation. As remarried couples embrace the transformative nature of forgiveness and grace, they embark on a journey of redemption and restoration, guided by the timeless wisdom of the scriptures. So, in other words, we need to embrace that future that's grounded in grace and be reminded from the scriptures that it's by grace that we've been saved through faith. And it's not from ourselves, it's a gift from God. We need to remember that not only do we need to extend grace and forgiveness to our new spouses, but to ourselves as well. We need to give ourselves grace and forgive ourselves so that we can create and help to create an environment that is grounded in grace in order to move forward and have a sustainable future together as a couple and as a new family.
That's all we have to say about that.
Thank you for listening to the Churchosity Podcast. Please don't forget to give us a rating and leave us a review. On our next episode, we will be discussing communication with love, because it does matter that you communicate with love. Over to you, Andy.
Be sure to check out our website, churchosity.com, where you can follow us on all the socials, become a Churchosity Patreon, and fill out our new survey. You can also drop us a message and give us your feedback, you know, because we'd really love to hear from you.
And don't forget to spread the word about Churchosity Podcast by just simply telling a friend to tell a friend what we're doing here.
Yeah, let them be a part of the conversation too.
But always remember that, as it says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, that the goal of our instruction is love.
From a pure heart.
And from a good conscience.
And a sincere faith.
So we thank each and every one of you again for listening. And we look forward to catching you all on the next episode of Churchosity Podcast.
Peace.